America's Diesel Podcast.
Brought to you by Diesel Power Products.
America's Diesel Superstore.
No salesmen,
just enthusiasts.
DieselPowerProducts.com.
Your number one source for all things diesel.
Is this thing on?
Can you hear that?
Welcome back to the show, everybody.
Woo!
It is podcast day, favorite day of the week.
It is.
It is. Welcome back to America's Diesel Podcast, brought to you by Diesel Power Products, best diesel retailer in the freaking galaxy.
In the galaxy. You don't need to storm Area 51 to find out what's the best diesel store. We're right here. We're right here.
It is fantastic.
Yes.
Today, I think we got a good topic, because this is actually one of those things I've been getting emails on recently, and I feel like it's worth discussing.
Absolutely. Because we'll get this question, and it's like, the first thing that comes to my mind is, why?
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 Why? And, you know, it's just, and I'm sure there's reasons, you know, each individual person has their reasons for why not. And now people are probably wondering what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, too bad, because you got to wait for the rest of the intro to go through.
Yeah.
You're all my slaves.
Yeah. We control you.
So, yeah, make sure you check us out on Google Play, SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify. Leave a 5-star review, screenshot that, send it to Tyler at DieselBoutProducts.com. We will send you a dank meme and a t-shirt.
Eventually.
Make your butt crack sweat. Yeah. We actually do have special podcast t-shirts in the works.
Yeah.
They look pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. The design I saw, there's awkward hands. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that's happening.
I saw the rendering for it. Whether it's actually being printed or not, I don't know. But
Well, then we want to wait and send people that shirt.
We can. Oh. That means you and I got to have a whole bunch of barley juice and just bang a whole bunch out Friday night.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. So today we are talking about how far can you get without tuning.
Yeah.
So this is all you 12 valve IDI guys. This is not for you, obviously.
Yeah. I got my tuning. It's a screwdriver.
But I've been getting a lot of emails where nothing against these folks. I mean, maybe they don't know, or maybe they had a bad experience. They're just, I do not want to tune my truck, but I want better performance.
Yeah, and this is where I can kind of relate to a point to some people, because maybe some people have gotten the idea that tuning is unsafe. Mm-hmm. It's not, or it is, you know, you run the risk of hurting something or you know, wiping out your ECM or that sort of thing. And when you have, you know, like these newer trucks, they're freaking expensive. And so I can understand that. Mm-hmm. But then you get that same guy that, you know, is, you know, I don't want to do tuning, but I want to do turbo. I want to do this other stuff. And it's like, okay, let's stop right there. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's only so much you can do without tuning. And those type of things really come down to like air intakes, exhaust, those kind of things that you're going to just kind of improve airflow basically without adding more, I guess would be the way to phrase that.
Yeah.
So you're just freeing up airflow. So yeah, you can gain power with that. It's just going to be fairly dismal compared to what a tuner can do.
Yeah. And yeah, I think a lot of it's got to be either reading forums, seeing people that are blowing up transmissions because of tuning, or blowing engines up because of tuning. Yeah. And there are some really potent tunes out there. Dude, like, I will make no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You've heard us refer to it a whole bunch of times. The Warhammer tune.
Yeah.
I mean, there are tunes out there that, well, if you just decide to woodfoot it, you're going to start breaking stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's guaranteed.
Yeah.
But there are also lots of high quality tunes out there that are, you know, a 50 horsepower tune on a truck. Mm-hmm. Okay. All you've done is, you know, pretty much woken the truck up, given some better fuel mapping on there, and kind of just, it's the best way, just woke it up, like shake the dust off, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And those are tunes to like not be afraid of. You know,
I'll tell guys this all the time. And this is usually part of my spiel when they say, you know, I don't want to do tuning. A lot of tuning is, there's a lot of power, there's a lot of efficiency that the manufacturers leave on the table. Not that they're like intentionally trying to leave it on the table. You got to understand, these manufacturers are making an engine, they're producing a vehicle to be mass produced that works for everybody, and they want to make sure that it is in a range that, you know, you're not just going to go hop in it and 10 minutes later just destroy everything. Mm-hmm. They're trying to work within the parameters of the transmission, with the parameters of the rear axle, with everything else going on. They're trying to make sure that this vehicle can perform how it should be intended to be used for, mm-hmm. Without damaging anything. But like you were saying, like a 50 horsepower tune or something like that, you know, that's not going to be an issue. And that kind of leads into there's obviously really good tuners out there, and there's tuners that aren't so good.
Yeah. Not all tuners are created equal.
Yeah. And those, usually the first sign that it's not a really good one is the price.
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally, if you have one tuner that's $200 and then you're comparing it to one that's $600, that's a big difference. Mm-hmm. That's a big difference. Okay. Most of those tuners that are those cheaper sort of devices, they're going to be something in line. It's not necessarily going to be programming the ECM. Some of them do. Most of them don't, though, that are really cheap. They're just going to plug in line, modify sensors. Those, to a point, are still safe. But what I, and this comes down to personal preference, and there's great tuners out there that are that inline sort of plug-in type tuner. It modifies the parameter at the sensor to gain power. The ECM thinks it's still doing what it's supposed to be doing, but it's changed after the fact, right? There's good ones, but there's, yeah. To me, when you have, like, let's say a 5.9 Cummins, for instance, and you're doing like a, you know, any tuner that like raises rail pressure or something like that, just like a rail pressure rheostat or something like that, you got to understand you're adding connections under that hood on top. So you've got now your sensor that's connected to a harness of the tuner, and then that harness goes into a box that then connects to the factory harness. Mm-hmm. And then that's how it works, right? It's in between. To me, you're adding those connections in place there. You're adding points of failure to me, like, yeah. Water, any sort of contaminants get in water and electricity, don't mix. and that's where I could see something happening to detrimentally, you know, affect an ECM or a sensor or a part on the vehicle. Because, yep. Let's say that device is faulting and it's in line. I mean, you could wipe out a sensor, you could wipe out a part of a truck, and the ECM still thinks that it's doing its normal thing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't know that it's being modified. So those you got to kind of be careful with. And that's why I kind of tend to gravitate more towards a downloader. Mm-hmm. Because a downloader is plugging in inside. It's taking that ECM file, pulling it out, and it's putting its own file in. So it's changing it at the ECM. To me, that's a safer way to do it. At the same time, you can cause damage with that type of tuner as well by maybe, I don't know, not having batteries that are fully charged. Or having weak batteries, because you got to understand during a flash cycle, I mean, some of those can take 15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I know one real bad one was the 6.4 Power Stroke.
Yeah.
That truck would, with it on, with the key on and you tuning it, I've seen trucks literally kill their batteries with just the key on.
Ask me how I know.
Yeah.
Kill batteries, yeah. Kill PCMs. Dead rock.
Yeah. And that is the worst thing that can have happen. So with like that particular truck, some in the instructions for some tuners, they'll say put a trickle charger on it. Mm-hmm. Just keep those batteries charged, because if that loses power, it's no good. It's no good.
Like you're going to change to your tow tune in the parking lot while you're grabbing ice before you go on a road trip.
Yeah.
Batteries die. Your truck is not moving.
Yeah.
Like, not even like a crank. Oh, it won't start. Like, dead.
Yeah. And so I would kind of put that in the category of that is kind of the owner of the vehicle's responsibility to make mm-hmm. sure that is up to par. I mean, but that's with anything that you're modifying, even with a factory tune at the dealership. If they're flashing your truck and it kills the batteries, guess what? They could easily wipe out the ECM right at the dealer. Mm-hmm. So it's something you definitely want to be careful with. And you want to make sure that you're, And this even goes back even farther. It's like, if you're going to add performance to your truck, make sure you have a well-working truck before you do it.
This is true. Yeah.
I mean, if you have issues with your truck and you're just going to tune it because you want more power and you don't want to fix whatever issues are there, you can cause yourself more issues, and it's going to cost you more money in the long run than it would have been just to fix the issue in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So tuning is as good as the user.
Yeah. Well, and the tune's being used.
Yeah. And... Oh, actually, I missed the one big thing I was going to say, which I can take a stock truck. I think anybody here could take a stock truck, go beat on it, and break something.
Yeah.
So the addition of a tuner, just saying that the tuner caused this failure or caused, you know, my transmission to go out. No, you did. You caused the transmission to go out. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's what it is. And again, you know, tuners that have those higher power levels that are 100 plus, yes, they're there to, you know, play and have fun with, but also you have to understand a lot of those tuners will say, like, even in the instructions, they'll say, you know, use this tuner with supporting mods. Mm-hmm. You know, this is designed this horsepower level with supporting mods. You gotta cover all your bases, man.
Yeah, I like to think of it as you're basically, if your truck is a knife, you're making it sharper.
Yeah,
it's gonna work better for you, but you gotta pay attention. You gotta be smart.
Yeah,
you can hand a kid a plastic play knife.
Yeah.
And they're going to, you know, it might cut some Play-Doh, it might do this or whatever.
I'll stab his eye out.
Yeah, stab his eye out or something like that. But yeah. If you actually need to do work with this knife or do work with your truck, which is a tool, you sharpen that up, it's going to work better. But you don't pay attention, you don't look at it, slice your finger right off.
Yeah. And so let's say you still got that guy that doesn't want to do tuning, but he wants to do air intake. He wants to do mm-hmm. intercooler. He wants to do intake manifold. He wants to do all these airflow enhancing items, right? Well, to me, at that point, if you've done all of those, you're kind of still shooting yourself in the foot because now you've freed up a bunch of restriction for you to then add more fuel mm-hmm. to make more power. I mean, that's the whole name of the game. If you're trying to make power, it's a balance game. You can't expect just to increase all your airflow and not do anything in fueling and gain a bunch of power. Mm-hmm. It's you might have cooled the truck down a little bit. Even, I mean, you could be like, my truck runs cooler than anybody's. Yeah, okay. But you're still limiting yourself because you've created an unbalanced truck, yeah. Basically. I mean,
I guess and it kind of comes down to what the goal is. Like, if you are okay with the power your truck makes and you just absolutely just want it to run as cool as possible, okay, do all the airflow enhancements you can do that do not require more fuel.
Yeah.
And like the one thing that comes to my mind, obviously 7.3 stuff, but it's like intake manifold, billet wheel, not a bigger turbo because we didn't add more air to it.
Yeah.
Probably up pipes, intercooler, colder intake, you know, everything to increase, you know, maybe even, you know, upgraded plenums.
Yeah.
At this point we have an exhaust, you know, as much air getting into this truck, but we haven't had any fuel.
Yeah.
Now we probably spent close to $2,500, maybe almost $3,000.
Yeah, for maybe 30-40 horsepower.
Yeah, it's almost it's almost akin to like trying to get performance out of a modern gasoline engine, where tuning isn't as potent, mm-hmm. but you start adding, you know, until you start doing things like a cam or something like that.
Yeah,
you know, you spent $400 or $500 and you gained 15 horsepower.
Yeah.
You're kind of back into that route. That's the whole beauty of a diesel truck in performance. You can gain a ton of performance just with a beep, bop, boop.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and I would say the biggest one that we get calls on, that at least I get, is I'm looking at this turbo. Mm-hmm. I want to do this turbo, but I don't want any tuning. Okay. Don't do a turbo without doing tuning first. You're just wasting your money. I mean, I shouldn't say you're wasting your money. Because there is turbos like modified VGT turbos you can do. You can put those on a stock truck. But for guys looking at higher performance turbos that just want to do it mechanically, okay, and especially with an electronic engine, again, you're probably going to actually have unfavorable driving characteristics, mm-hmm. and you're probably going to have more heat because now you've got this turbo that won't spool or won't spool when it should be spooling, and now your power curve's all out of whack, and then you go try to tow your trailer, and you're like, man, this thing sucks. It's like, well,
feels like it needs more fuel. Oh,
ding, 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 ding.
Winner.
You got it. But tuning is, I would consider, one of the safest mods you can do that gains you the most power.
When used responsibly.
Absolutely. And don't go cheap on tuning, especially on these new trucks. People don't understand that these engines in these trucks cost thousands. Pretty much any new truck, your engine's over 10 grand at least. Easily. I mean, some of them are over 15, some of them are close to 20. I mean, I don't even know how much like an L5P cost I don't even know how much an LML cost.
I think the last complete engine I sold was a 6.7. It's for like a 10 to 12,
mm-hmm.
top to bottom. So fuel components, everything except like the AC compressor, alternator, stuff like that. But like turbo, fuel rail, CP3, everything on there.
Valve cover.
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah.
And it was, I want to say it was almost $17,000.
Yeah, I was going to say. I was going to say probably like 16 to 18.
Yeah, and that's a remanned engine, folks. That's not brand new. That's a remanned engine. I think it has like a 1 year unlimited mileage warranty or something like that.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, so don't go cheap. And that's kind of the nice things about shopping with us is we tend to not carry junk.
Yeah.
If we find that a part that we carry is no good, we stop carrying it. I mean, that's just kind of how we go. And we'll be honest with you. If you want our honest opinion on something, ask us.
Yeah, call and ask.
We'll tell you what's good. We'll tell you what to go with. I mean, we'll never steer someone the wrong way. I mean, if they're looking at something that's like, hey, I'm comparing this tuner, it's usually one we don't sell on our website, you know, and it's, oh, but this one's, you know, $250 and the one that you're saying is $900. It's like, yeah, there's a big difference.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
I think one of the emails I got, and if you're listening to this and you sent me this email, no digs against you, but we went back and forth a couple of times, and he said, I want to get performance on my 7.3, but I don't want to tune it because the last time I tuned my truck, it ate my transmission twice. And I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking about it. I'm like, I mean, even 7.3 tuning, I mean, it affects the transmission, but not
like that.
A lot. Like not like you're seeing like an Allison or like a 6R or something like that. So I'm like, eh. So we started digging in deeper a little bit. And he's like, yeah, I tuned it back to stock, and now, you know, everything's fine. This transmission's lasted way longer than the other ones. I'm like, okay. You can probably guess where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
what size tires are running?
Yeah. Yeah.
37s. What gears do you have in there? 373s. Okay. You're going to continue to eat transmissions until you properly gear your truck.
Yeah.
Tuning's not going to help. The only reason you're not burning up transmissions now that you're not tuned is because you're not making enough power for that truck to even care.
Yeah.
And the reason you're calling me about trying to get power without tuning is because you do want more power, but you're under the impression that tuning messed up your transmission, when in actuality it just expedited the process of you having more power because your mechanical advantage was shot.
Yeah.
What? Yes, I'm sorry. Like I'm sorry that I have to be the one to break it to you, but if you want really high quality tuning, I have that, but you're gonna call me in like a year because you just blew your transmission.
Yeah.
There's no way around it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I've had customers that didn't even know like they had a transmission issue and are looking for more power out of their truck. Little do they know that their transmission is slipping and that their power is not getting to the ground. I mean, I've had conversations with guys be like, man, it sounds like you got an issue with your transmission. Come to find out they do. They get a new transmission and call me back and go, wow, my truck has so much more power. It's like, yeah, it's actually making its way through everything and actually getting to the ground. So in a lot of trucks, if there's a transmission issue, it might not even kick a light. You know, you could check codes and you might not even see any with like just a basic code reader. So I've had that happen too. And that's, you know, obviously that's like the worst thing to tell a guy, like, hey man, you got to spend like 10 grand.
Well, and even then too, these transmissions are so in tune with going on with the engine that you could even tune this and do transmission tuning. And if your transmission is hurt enough, it'll start derating power.
Yeah.
Like it's a circle.
It is. And again, this goes back to the very beginning. Make sure that you have a perfectly running truck. Because if you don't, you're going to be sorely disappointed. And those are usually the conversations where someone goes, my buddy has the same tuner and his truck's way faster than mine. What's going on? Or it's gears.
Yeah.
Gears is probably next to coolant. Changing your coolant is probably the least like looked at, you know, part to change. And I know we've had whole episodes on gears. We're strong advocates of gears.
Yeah. My most recent, this will be my rant for the day. Right. But yeah, my most recent talk with a guy about gears is he called in and he's like, man, I talked to like a couple different places and I keep getting different answers of what's going on. I cannot, my truck is super laggy trying to get this thing to light. And he tells me what he has on the truck and his air and fuel is matched up. He has like a 369 with like 150 horse injectors,
yeah,
lift pump, larger CP3 studs, like, this engine is sound.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, the transmission has some work done to it. It's a sound truck. I mean, we're going back and forth and back and forth. And the same question, he's like, man, I can't get this to spool. And I felt kind of cool.
Yeah.
By the time he finished describing what was going on, I was like, what size tires are running?
Yeah.
37s. What gears do you have? 342s. There's a problem.
Ooh.
He's like, really?
That's
like,
even,
oh yeah.
That's the worst.
Yeah, it was a Ram. And I was like, yeah, it was the 331s or 342s, the low ones are in there.
Yeah.
Lower than any truck should ever really have. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah, you've just shot all your mechanical advantage out the door.
Yeah.
Let me guess, it runs like a rape tape on the freeway, right?
Well, yeah.
Like, uh-huh. Yeah, it's because you are basically missing your first three gears.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we should have another episode on gears because this is like, it's seriously such a game changer for trucks. If people just do it. I want, you know what? I want everybody in this country that has 37s or 35s or whatever. I want everybody to have the right gears because everybody's truck would run so much better because there's so many people out there mm-hmm. that just do wheels and tires and a lift and call it good.
Yeah.
Don't even think about gears. And it's just like, man, you could have such a, I was going to use a bigly, but I couldn't put that in that sentence.
I think it's gotten to that point, and the guys over at Dynamite, again, are such advocates and believers of gears that with like second-gen guys that are running 35s or 373s, I think they won't even like sell them anything larger than like a 50-horse injector.
Yeah.
Because it's like your stock turboed, you're going to lag this, you know, you're just going to be a big smoky pig because your final drive is totally toast.
Yeah.
You know, we can do bigger injectors. It's literally not going to gain you anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it'll change the whole way the truck runs, and that it's not all about just the power level you're running, and you can brag to your boys you're running this power level. Again, if the power's not getting to the ground and it's not being used at the proper time, you know, when I say time, like the power curve, because again, that's going to be all out of whack with the wrong size gears. It's a world of difference. You got to get the power to the ground. That's what's cool. Getting the power to the ground and actually using it and feeling it versus, mm-hmm. I got 150 horsepower tune. And it smokes a lot and it's fun. Great. On the highway. Awesome.
Yeah.
But you're just limiting yourself. Even with mileage too. I mean, mileage, it'll be in the dumps with that kind of setup. So
in the dumps with your money that you're spending on fuel.
Yeah.
All right. You got a rant for today?
Oh yeah. I got a couple. No. Well, driving the wife's car again today, man, I swear the 6.2 diesel is the worst engine that's ever been. Maybe it's just mine. I don't know. But, I'm getting so close to getting this 5.3 in there. I was telling Ben the other day, it's almost, I feel like I wasn't going to do this. Like in the beginning, it was like, okay, I'll take a high mileage 5.3 and I'll just, you know, pull the pan. And if everything looks good, put it in.
Yeah.
Machine shop later. Apparently I got some coated pistons, which is sweet. But yeah, no, she's going together. It's going together good. I'm having fun doing it. I haven't built an engine in quite a while, and I'm kind of glad that I'm going through the entire process, bare block, you know, new pistons, new rings, polished the crank, mm-hmm. the crank polished out nice, so I didn't have to go oversized on anything there. Didn't even have to bore the cylinders out, so that was cool. Saved me some money there. But it's coming together nice. Got her all taped up, all nice. She's going to get painted up. Ben gave me his engine cover, so it'll look like a true Vortec 5.3 when you pop the hood.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and a K&N intake, yeah. Whatever. I'm just going to use parts and pieces out of that to make me a custom intake. But no, I can't be, honestly, I couldn't be more excited to get that 6.2 out of there. I'm just, it's like, how hot is it now? It's like probably 90 degrees out during the middle of the day. At least the time I leave. The things won't start. It won't start with the glow plugs, and it barely gets kicked off with ether. And don't use ether out there, guys, on a good engine. I'll slap you.
Yeah.
But I've got some plans. I got some things I'm going to do after work. I think I talked at like episode like 4 or 5. I was like, yeah, I'm going to just wire those glow plugs to a switch and call it, you know, or a momentary switch or a button. Mm-hmm. Looks like I'm going to have to actually do that this time. So I'm going to do that after work
in the summer.
Feels so weird to say that. It's literally the compression is so low on this that just normal, just cranking won't build up enough heat to ignite the fuel. That's terrible. That's terrible.
That's terrible,
man. And you know what? I was just bragging about it the other day. I was like, you know what? This thing is running great.
Yeah.
This thing is running awesome. Yeah.
Not so much.
Yeah. Where is she at? Still at my house. It's terrible, man. So I'm gonna hardwire, or not hardwire, but I'm gonna wire my glow plugs to a push button switch, and I'm also, so I noticed on the Banks the intake tube coming off the compressor housing of the turbo, mm-hmm. it's nice. It's like a soft rubber, right? So I'm just gonna pop a hole in that and put a plug in it because it's suction, so it shouldn't pop it out. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna use that because the where I'm spraying, you got it. Might even run a tube inside the cap. I don't know. It just depends on what I got laying around. So, yeah. Well. I'm just trying to literally limp it for like another month and a half. That's all I need that engine for. That's it. And then we're swapping.
Nice.
We're swapping. I can't wait. Oh, reliability.
I got two things to close this episode on. Okay. One, the Area 51 memes are dank right now.
Oh, my God.
They're lit. If you haven't seen them, just...
Maybe I should just go to that and get some alien technology to put in the Suburban.
How stoked would you be if you went to Area 51 and everybody there was still using, like, Detroit diesels?
Yeah. Like, what?
We don't use those hyperjet. Detroit diesel.
Yeah, literally a Detroit diesel running a UFO.
But the other thing that I came across, I think Alec from Industrial shared an interesting meme or whatever. It's for those guys that are, truck's down. I need this part tomorrow. I'm losing whatever. I can't drive to work.
Yeah.
And they're texting their shop, every day trying to figure out if their truck is fixed. And it's a problem that's not an overnight fix.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, if you have, $2,500 for a turbo, $3,000 for tires.
Mm-hmm.
Probably like $2,000 for tires, $3,000 for wheels, $1,500 for your stereo, mm-hmm. Several thousand other dollars for your suspension and whatnot, and you couldn't afford like a $900 Kia to just get to work. I've said this before too, but you know what's cool, man? Showing up to work on time.
Yeah, so you can pay for your parts to fix your truck.
Right, so you're telling me you can afford, and I get, if it's a work truck or something like that, maybe you...
Yeah,
spend $1,500 and get an old Chevy half ton or something like that. But it's like, if you can afford all that stuff for that big brand new cool truck that you probably financed, and you can't afford to have a little $500 beater,
you should probably rethink some things.
Priorities, my dudes.
Priorities. Yeah. Spare rigs. We should do a whole episode on spare rigs. That's a good one. Yeah, we should pick out a bunch of cheap rigs.
Yeah,
this one's a great one.
Favorite beaters.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh.
That's a good one. All right.
Yeah.
That's going to have to happen now. It's on the air.
Boom.
So on that bombshell, we're done. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week.
See ya. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe and check us out at dieselpowerproducts.com.